So what's your favorite?
How did you go?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Quick Question, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers get on the old horn and ask each other questions about their lives, about life in general, and occasionally just like, what made you like this? I'm one half of the podcast, a boy made by going to high school in a barn, Soren Bowie. And the other half, of course, is Daniel, who was raised, let me check my notes, raised normal. Daniel, say hello.
Hello, two best friends and comedy writers. Is that anything?
Yeah.
What is it? What tune is that? What were you doing?
I mean, this is gonna be the whole show. You don't recognize that?
Two best friends and comedy writers. Am I doing it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah. Absolutely.
No clear idea what that is.
Would you like another verse of it?
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't even register. Okay. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it.
What?
Amazing. It's so rare in my life that I get a thing that I know and you fucking don't.
What is it? You have to tell me.
Hold on.
Or we can't proceed.
Does it sound familiar at all to you?
No.
There's not even like a flicker. Two best friends and comedy writers, if there's an answer, they're going to find it.
No. Absolutely okay. Not. It's possible you're going to say the answer and it will be the theme song to a television show that I definitely watched.
It is a theme song, and it's just something you I think you've listened to at least once or twice. It's a theme song. It sounds hyper specific, doesn't it, to us?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with a band called Me Rex?
Uh-huh. Oh, fuck.
Okay, so they did a theme song for a podcast called Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, which also, I admit, sounds also pretty hyper specific because those are our names.
Uh-huh.
Those are the lyrics to the song.
Oh, no.
Well, so what will happen when people listen to this is that, and maybe they don't know how the sausage is made. We don't listen to the theme song each time we do the show. We don't play it and then go straight into the show.
No, we just start talking.
People are going to listen to this. They're going to hear exactly that. Then they're going to hear me sing it. Then they're going to hear you sing it and then go, what is that?
Man. This doesn't feel great.
Thanks to Nutrafol for supporting Quick Question. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug free. They use natural medical grade botanicals in consistently effective dosages. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and hey, support our show by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ.
Here's the thing. That's just not what I think of when I think of our theme song.
Yeah. By the way, we should
our
take
theme
a second
song rocks.
Say,
I've heard it.
It's
many
so
times.
Cool.
It's awesome.
It's so cool that I listened to it. Well, I haven't in a couple of weeks, but like I used to just like listen to it because I liked it so much.
Yeah.
And it made me feel good. And that's why I know it so well. But you're right. On our average day, we don't listen to that.
Yeah. And if I at gunpoint had to start singing the song, I don't think I would start where you started.
No.
I would start at the beginning, which I know so well that it would be undignified to prove that I know it by singing it right this moment.
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, what a I mean, I feel it almost felt like a bit, like you were just like giving me this and then sandbagging me somehow. But boy, what a treat.
Man, I understand your joy now. I thought you were just so pumped that you were going to be like, it's the theme from Ghost Rider, the dog's show. And I'm like, all right, well, I didn't watch that. I was while you were watching that show, I was fucking, so I missed it.
I can't imagine you were fucking while the show was doing its thing. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Dan.
Hey, man, no problem. Thank you, and I'm sorry, Me Rex. I love the song. You're great. Yikes.
I said in my intro that you were raised normal. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that's true. You've got parents who love each other and are still together. You've got a sort of a nuclear family minus some. Not a lot of estrogen in the family of yours because it's all boys, basically.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to commit to the labeling of normal, especially when, as your definition of normal expands and it just becomes very very heteronormative.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were raised normal because your parents are together and you have siblings. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that's normal, just for the record. One of us thinks normal is the right word to use.
I'm really trying to think, and I'm deciding to stand
by
what I said. That having two parents in a house is valuable.
Okay.
Man, listen to how delicately I'm walking across this minefield.
Yeah.
That I think it's valuable to have in a family.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm going to stand by it.
Okay. By your definition, I was raised normal. I guess so was Hitler.
We don't know that. Was he?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Adolf Hitler parents.
Remember when we used to put each other on the spot on the show and really like nail down on something, force somebody to have an opinion they didn't actually hold?
Yeah. No, Soren, I do not remember that. And I don't think new listeners should go back and try to find what you're talking about.
Just those little sound bites by themselves, divorced of context. That's like the end of your career. Probably not yours, actually. You were pretty good about it. I really leaned in.
You did.
Hey, it's me again, asking you, what's holding you back? But I want to tweak the question a little again and ask, what's holding you back from growing the best head of hair of your life? You don't have to choose between better hair growth and your health. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness. So you got to get ahead of thinning hair with Nutrafol's whole body approach to hair growth. There's no drugs, but there's also no compromises. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Physician formulated using natural medical grade ingredients, Nutrafol's drug-free patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. Bet you didn't know that might be an issue with some of the others. Well, it is. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 to 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. So you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show and just stay healthy by going to Nutrafol.com/men and entering promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men. Use promo code QQ. Well, we on our last podcast, we talked about the Emmys. Mm-hmm. That's over now. It's over and done. We're looking towards the future now.
Yeah.
And how we're going to get this podcast, whatever awards they give away for podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I think in order to do that, the first step would be to maybe try to stick to our theme.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, which we haven't done in a while, which is where we ask each other quick questions.
Oh, the theme of the show, not like the theme song of the podcast. I thought you were trying to get me again.
No, I okay, don't good. That's also in the past.
Great. I love looking forward.
I want to ask you a quick question.
Shoot.
What's something that you clearly show a talent for, but that you hate doing? Like, you would never do it. Like, it's something that you're surprisingly good at. And you, in the very like, limited times that you've actually done it, but you're like, I will never, ever, this will never be my thing. I can go first.
Please. Here,
so you have time to think about this. When we went back to Colorado recently, I took my son out into the woods. So I grew up in a log cabin in the woods in a big pinyon forest. And you could just walk outside and you can just like walk into the woods forever. And his big thing was he wanted to go find bones. So there's always going to be some kill out there. There's going to be like coyotes like killed a deer or something like that. And so I'm like, yeah, I think I could find some bones pretty easy. And so we went out there. I found a game trail. I followed the game trail to clearings, like areas where I thought maybe animals could have died. And they would have been like easy pickings. And we did. We found some deer carcasses in like various states of decomposition. And so he found an antler. I also was, as we were walking back to the house, we were following a different game trail. And at one point I just stopped because I was like, I know that there is something else here. And started looking around. And sure enough, there was a mule deer who was just like chilling not far from us, eating and kind of watching us. And then it bolted. As soon as we stopped, it was nervous and then took off. And I thought to myself, I would be a really good hunter. I would be so good at hunting because I know how to find animals. I know where they're going to be. I know how to like with rabbits, I know how to get close to a rabbit out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. I know that if you try and sneak up on it, you'll never get near a rabbit. But if you just like lumber along and you see one, the more kind of shuffling that you do and still kind of like slow movements, but not like sneaky slow, you're just sort of like breaking branches and stuff. They'll let you get really close because you're clearly not a threat. You're not something sneaking up on them. And so mm-hmm. they're used to dealing with big animals that are just like, oh, that's a nothing. That's a cow or whatever. And so I was like showing this to Ronan. I was like, here's how we saw a rabbit at one point. And I was like, this is how we're going to get close if you'd like to see it closer, and taught him this. And then as we're hiking through the woods and I'm like telling him, this is how you know which direction the animals are traveling. Like, look at this print in the mud. This is the shape of the hoof, but you have to understand that, like, this is the front of the hoof. This is the back. This is the difference between elk scat and deer scat. This is how you can tell how old it is. Like, I would be so fucking good at hunting and like finding one of these animals and just killing it. Well, the killing it part would be, that's yet to be determined. But I have no interest at all in actually hunting. I think it's not a hobby that I would ever take up.
I think that's so funny. It's so funny to me that, like, if this were a trope in a movie, then the reveal would be you're Jason Bourne. Like, if you had this skill that you were quiet about, it's history of violence. Like, nah, you're Joey. You're the mobster Joey. I could tell. Look at the way you just beat up that guy in the coffee shop. I know the truth, but in real life you should be like, no, I swear to God, I'm not. It's not a secret identity. I'm just really fucking, I just crush as a hunter. I just never do it. There's no secret past. I was just born awesome at this.
I'll send a picture to you, but I dug out the old BB gun, mm-hmm. which is like a pump action one where you've got to like pump it 15 times. It's a rifle. And I let my son shoot it a few times and we set up some cans and all over the place and then got up on the roof of my house and just shot these cans. And he was way into it. The gun was too big for him and he didn't really understand mm-hmm. like how you aim and stuff, but he was still having fun. And then I was like, let me just try. I haven't shot anything in a while, and just lit these fucking cans up. Like, didn't miss a single one. At certain points, like, they'd get, there was one that blew out of the tree by the wind and it was on the ground just kind of behind the tree and you could only see about 10% of it, and I still knocked that thing down. Like, I still like hit it and you hear the ting. I'm a fucking great shot. I'm a great hunter. I will never ever use this talent. Yeah. Maybe if the world ends I could use it.
I don't think I knew any of this. I even, you said you busted out the old BB gun. I don't. How long have you been holding onto a BB gun rifle? Was this at your in Colorado? Parents, so I guess your parents' house. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was in Colorado. We don't have any guns in the house here, but we back in Colorado. I realized growing up, I always considered us like, oh no, we didn't have guns growing up. No, we had lots of guns. We had a BB gun. We had a 22. We had some sort of big, I guess it was a shotgun that was like sitting over the fireplace. My dad had a safe and there was a handgun. There was a revolver in there that I knew about. Like, we had guns. And so I'm like, it's amazing that without guns in my whole life, I got to be such a good shot. No, I was shooting guns. We go to friends' houses and we shoot 22s. Like, we shot guns all my childhood.
Fascinating. I have one that's not as cool. And I don't even know if we talked about this on the podcast before, but just because we were recently at the Emmys 2 weekends in a row, and I brought my brother as a guest for one of them and you as a guest for another one, there's a lot of COVID protocol that we needed to test for the Academy. We also needed to test for last week tonight's own specific rules. So we're doing a lot of COVID tests, and some of them require like in-person appointments, and there's important scheduling for when you need to take the test by and who you submit everything to. And with my brother's case, there was also like flights and getting him to and from the airport. And so across these 2 weekends, there's a whole lot of planning and logistical figuring out of things. And I was like mapping everything out for myself and figuring out where everyone needs to be at any given time, I was reminded once again of every work trip that we've ever taken where I've planned everyone's itineraries and answered all their questions. And I'm just so fucking good at planning for people, at ironing out logistics for how a big weekend trip is going to go. It doesn't necessarily need to be a weekend trip, but like something administrative, putting together an FAQ, putting together an itinerary. As I'm doing it, I'm just like, this task is for me. This is a thing that I excel at. I anticipate the questions. I know where everyone needs to be, when they need to be there. And I know how to articulate it in a spreadsheet, in a form. I do not want anyone to find out about this about me. I do not want to do this. It just so happens that I'm good at it and I'll do it when I have to, but I don't want to pivot to whatever career this is.
Yeah. There are no lies told here. You were so, it was like this weird second gear you had where it was like, oh shit, Dan's great at this. To the point where your nickname from some, and I don't think this was a particularly nice nickname, Dad O'Brien.
Correct. Yeah.
But yes, and it was, you're good at logistically understanding everything, all the details of what's about to happen with a big trip or a big group of people doing a thing together, and anticipating all the different things that will come up, because everybody's got their own little shit. Like, everybody's got their own thing. Like, oh no, I'm coming by car, or like I'm flying, but I've got a layover, so I'm not getting in until this time. And you were so good at coordinating still with like, oh no, let's see, Katie doesn't get in until later. So what we're going to do is we're going to be getting in a little before noon, but that's not too early for lunch. So we'll just stay there. I looked at some of the restaurants in the airport. And if we go outside of, like we go out to the main terminal, there's actually this one that seems really good and we can wait for her there and she can meet us there. And like, of course, because everybody feels like they're in such good hands, they're not helping at all either. No. Like, they're making it worse at every turn, which just frustrates you in a very clear way, where they're like, oh, somebody else is in charge. Oh, I don't have to focus on anything. And they're just wandering around like children.
Yeah.
And then, it's a thing you can turn off, yeah. I think, because you and I, we went to Chicago once for
some shit.
Something from crack, and there was just like we had a day that we could have filled, and everybody was kind of like looking how to fill a day, and you and I were just like, what if we got drunk and went to the aquarium?
Correct.
Just like on a whim. And then we did that and went to a new city, went to their aquarium, got drunk and just went to the aquarium. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun.
And the walls didn't come tumbling down. Everyone else was fine. In my imagination, they sat quietly in their hotel rooms awaiting further instructions. But I'm
sure that's the thing. I think that they immediately pulled up the slack. As soon as they realize there's no way at the other end of the rope, they're like, oh, I'm on my own? Oh, okay, I'll be an adult.
Yeah.
And then they just take over. And there are obviously some hurdles that they have to face. But when you send an email like that and you've got everybody's phone numbers and everything like that, the rest of the trip, guaranteed, everyone's going to be like, Dan, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah. If you make things easy on people, they immediately regress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to have a sketch comedy group that I was actually in with one of my coworkers now, the guy who got me my job at American Dad. We used to do sketch comedy together, and we had somebody in our group who was in charge of like a lot of logistic stuff. It's friend of the show, Dan Campana. Mm-hmm. And he was really good about that kind of stuff and like keeping track of when we had shows, where the shows were, how all of our props, everything that we needed. And then there were times where he'd be out and the job would just fall to me, and my demeanor changed immediately. I was mad at everyone. I was embittered. I was not funny. And I was just upset that nobody else was paying attention and nobody else was like pulling their weight, that I was the leader of the group, and begrudgingly.
Yeah.
And so to be good at that and to not fall into that trap is like a really rare talent. I think you possess that.
Yeah. Thank you. I think it's very funny that in the movie version of this, when someone's trying to put a team together, if they're like, Soren, we need you to hunt. And you're like, I told you I don't do that no more. And on the absolute opposite side of the spectrum, it's like, Daniel, quick, how do we get to LAX? What's the best? Is it just yellow cab, or are we doing Lyft? That's not me anymore.
They should do.
My spreadsheet days are behind me.
You and I would be great if they did some sort of hybrid of Alone and The Amazing Race, where some of The Amazing Race was all the stuff where you're trying to get from Rome to Cacao or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to figure out how to do it in 12 hours. And then the other part of it is you're just wandering across the plains. Mm-hmm. You're like, now you're on foot. Now for this next portion, like, you're just on foot and you're gonna have to figure it out. Are you bringing water? Are you gonna bring other supplies? Like, I feel like there we could really thrive.
You know, what's interesting is that Amazing Race has been on for what seems like my entire lifetime, and I don't know what that show is.
Really?
I understand it to be a reality competition show, and it sounds like you work in teams and you are literally racing. You're trying to beat someone to a point. But it's one of those shows that I've been sort of blissfully ignorant about. And when they came up at the Emmys and they played a clip of the show, and it looked like a couple of guys walking across a mountain or something, I was like, oh shit, they make them race on mountains in this show? That's nuts. That's hard.
Yeah. So they do. Yeah. They do make them like run up temple steps and things like that. It stays fairly metropolitan. Mm. Yeah, I mean, the opposite side of the coin here is what's something that you show absolutely no proficiency for at all. And watching the Amazing Race, it always is teams, and the teams are, you're figuring everything out on the fly. Like, you're constantly in a city you've never been in before. You've got to run a certain distance with a big backpack on, but like get a taxi to make and you're like, you just have to go as fast as you can. You got to get flights. You got to negotiate and stuff like that. Huh. And in those circumstances, cool. I'm the meanest person to whoever I'm with. I've been on trips with my wife, and at this point, we know it. At this point, it's like a thing where she's very, she handles it with dignity and grace. But I'm like, I'm so mean because I'm so flustered and frustrated and out of my element that like every little thing set me off. And I watched The Amazing Race, and when these people are doing well together, it's like a mom and son. I'm like, how the fuck? What is that relationship? Like, how did that happen? How do you get to a point where you're like that cool and collected in this absolute chaos of a storm? And you're so nice to each other, even when you're angry, like you're nice to each other. How do you do that? It's not my bag.
No, I guess I'll check out this show.
I used to watch it when I tested DVDs for my job.
Oh.
That's actually the only capacity I've seen it in. Cha-cha-cha-ching! What's that sound? What did I just hear? Was that the sound of money? That's a sound I love. Oh boy, does it make me smile. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Cha-cha-cha-ching! It's kind of like a mixture of a cash register and a bird. Shopify is the all-in-one commercial platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is more than a store. It connects you with your customers. It drives sales. It manages your day-to-day. It does all the stuff basically you don't want to be doing when you want to be focusing on your new business. You've got a lot on your plate and you want to take care of all of it. But man, it's easy for stuff to get away. Shopify is like having the best business partner out there. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. So discover your possible. Shopify unlocks the opportunities of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur like you makes their first sale on Shopify. So supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved for big business. Now customized for you, with a great-looking online store that brings your idea to life and tools to manage and drive your sales. Look, it takes a lot of work making your vision a reality, turning your idea into a tangible business. So making your idea real opens endless possibilities through Shopify. Believe me, this podcast, it started as a little abandoned kitten in a dumpster. It was nothing. It was just something we heard meowing when we walked past, and we picked it out and we groomed it and we took care of it. Grooming's probably the wrong word for something young. We took care of it. We brushed it, washed it. What I'm saying is that we nurtured the idea of a podcast from just a hypothetical haha, what if, to actually being a podcast that is now listened to by over 50s of people. Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Get started by building and customizing your online store with no coding or design experience. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now.
Sorry, I got a quick question for you, Soren.
Oh, yeah, great. Shoot.
This might end up being a recurring segment. It's just something that I was thinking about recently. It's going to be... is this person a good actor or do we just like them? And I have one for it because I have been thinking about this person. I rewatched one of his movies on the plane on the way to LA. He was on not one, but two beloved sitcoms. One a cult favorite. One of them, one of the most successful modern sitcoms of all time. He is now... has a prominent role on an HBO prestige drama. He has written and starred in his own films. He has been famous and on television and movies for a very long time for acting. Is Jason Segel a good actor or do we just like him? I'm really racking my fucking brain on this. I like to watch him a lot. He was Freaks and Geeks, How I Met Your Mother, now Winning Time on HBO. Forgetting Sarah Marshall is the movie that I watched on the plane, which is a good and fun movie. I'm really charmed by that movie.
Absolutely.
And I'm watching him the whole time doing the Jason Segel thing, and I genuinely like, do I believe any of this? Any of the time you're trying to be like serious or sad or angry, I'm just like, I don't know, man. Your voice sounds dumb when you get serious. I'm really smiling watching you, but I don't know if acting is the thing for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, he is always playing Jason Segel. Yeah. I think that you couldn't throw him in like Snatch or something like that.
No.
Or a period. Oh, man, a period piece. Jason Segel in a period piece would be very funny.
Yeah.
I agree with you that he plays himself, that he's got one speed.
Yeah.
But it's such like a great speed and so much fun to watch that I'm not sure that there's a difference between being very charismatic and being a good actor in that respect. I feel like that is being a good actor. If you've figured it out and you've locked it in, like, then great. Then that's your great actor is that one particular thing.
Yeah. I wonder how many mediocre actors could have tricked us if they had just picked parts better. If they never tried, if Keanu Reeves was like, no, I'm not going to do anything that has an accent. I'm not going to do this, you know, whatever romantic wine country movie. I'm going to just like keep doing Keanu Reeves parts and everyone's going to assume I'm the best actor because I'm really good at this thing.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly hasn't worked for some people. Like Steven Seagal, everyone knew right away. Like,
yeah,
you're going to do the same thing over and over again. Just fucking do the thing.
Yeah.
But don't give him too many lines because he's really terrible. And like, that's clear when he goes to something like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, don't ever do anything outside of your lane.
Yeah.
But yeah,
in fact,
don't
we don't even like your lane anymore. Don't do that either.
Yeah. We really gave up on that as a culture. Jason Segel is, I'm like thinking of his performance on Freaks and Geeks. I really genuinely did feel sorry for him when, what's her name?
Linda Cardellini.
Linda Cardellini was dating him and like didn't like him.
Yeah.
And it was so clear that like, it was just not going to work. And he wasn't getting it at first.
Yeah.
It was very sad to watch. And Sarah Marshall, he does a good job of being down and out, I think. But I agree with you that it's always just him.
Yeah. He's the least him I've ever seen him be in the Lakers show, Winning Time. And he's not great in it. He needs to play like he's playing like smart and sad and kind of shy and thoughtful. And it's not my favorite Jason Segel performance.
I wonder if you're at a this is gonna be a silly question, but I wonder if you're at a level of in your career mm-hmm. where you just burned a bridge. I don't know that. I'm surely, maybe if someone, one of our 12 listeners also knows him and told him.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think we're safe. I have one that it immediately made me think of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to get your opinion on it.
Now you've got me so paranoid that you didn't let me finish my quick question. Like the answer was, he is a good actor and we like him. This wasn't an open-ended rhetorical question. I had the answer. We like him and he's good and he's tall and he's hot.
Yeah. And, you know, we know what he's working with. We've seen him naked.
Yeah.
There's an actor who is in, I think most recently, a movie called Beckett. You've seen him in Tenet. You saw him in, I don't know if you saw BlacKkKlansman. He's in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about John David Washington.
Oh, these are prestigious movies with prestigious directors, and
yes,
he's on the show Ballers on HBO. We're just going to tear down my network today.
He's somebody who I think is compelling to watch, compelling to look at, and comes from like acting stock. Like his dad is maybe one of the best actors of our generation.
Greatest actor of all time.
You think so?
Yeah.
All time. Okay.
All time.
All right. I think that that's arguable. I think that that's, but you know, you can make that case. I'm not saying that's absurd. John David Washington. I watched the movie Beckett. Have you seen it?
No.
It's a COVID movie. I mean, it came out on streaming only. I can't tell if it's based on like a 70s movie. It very much feels like it is, but it's a guy who gets tied up in a political kidnapping. He's a tourist who ends up getting in a car crash and sees something he shouldn't in the car crash. There's like a political prisoner, and then they're trying to kill him because he knows about this thing. So he's wandering around Europe in a place where it's the Amazing Race with one person. It's him like trying to get all these places as fast as he can. And if he's being chased by police, corrupt police the entire time. He's not good in it. He's really kind of like wooden. I think that I'm like, oh, that's the take you chose. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. I felt a little bit like that in Tenet too, where I'm like, I can't tell if this guy's a good actor or not. No, or if we've just given him a pass.
Yeah. I think the first time I saw him was definitely Ballers, and I was very excited. This is Denzel Washington's kid. And I thought he was great in Ballers. And then I saw Tenet and I was like, oh, maybe Ballers was like the note you play. Because Tenet, he's kind of inscrutable in Tenet.
Yeah. Yeah. At no point do I really feel I like the character, like, is really in trouble in a way that I care about.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem of Tenet. Maybe it's like Tenet is just a movie I didn't quite get. But I find that just watching him, I'm like, I don't know, man. I think that you could dive in a little deeper in these characters. This is a big movie.
Yeah.
You could be something. You could make some choices here.
I would need to.
Yeah. I don't feel like he's making choices.
Yeah. I would need to rewatch that movie again because my memory of it, I have a very clear memory of this movie because it was one of the first new movies that we were allowed to see during COVID. A lot of movies were being held back, and so we just hadn't seen anything new. And I was driving home from my parents' house in North Carolina and stopped at a hotel in D.C., and this hotel was like, we have new movies. I was like, what are you talking about? There aren't new movies anymore. There will never be a new movie again.
Yeah.
It's COVID. And they had Tenet at this hotel that you could buy on pay-per-view. And I was so happy to see something new that I hadn't seen before. And I paid whatever it was and put it on and just had the time of my life. Have no idea what happens in that movie. But I was so forgiving of it at the time. Everyone was dressed so well. Everyone's so fucking hot in that movie. And I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't care. I was just like, no, they're in Belarus now. That's just where they are. And they have to climb up the thing to get the thing. And then when that scene's over, they're on a boat, okay? Who cares? I don't know why they're on the boat, but he needs to be on the boat. Now they're driving cars backwards. Fine. I'm caught up. Who cares? Let them do whatever they want.
I just think about if you put him in his dad's role. Maybe this is unfair to do to him, but if you put John David Washington in something like Inside Man, that detective character in the Inside Man or Inside Man. I was right. If you put him in Inside Man, that's a very straightforward character that doesn't have a lot of like obvious choices to be made. But Denzel Washington made him so fucking cool and like just made him so much fun to watch, and he's so compelling on the screen. I feel like there's no way you put John David Washington in that role and it's the same thing.
That is, by the way, why I think Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time. Not necessarily that role, but because whenever I'll debate this with my dad all the time of like Denzel Washington versus Paul Newman. And I don't know why those are the two greatest. And a thing will happen where like Paul Newman at a certain point in his career, it seemed like could have any role he wanted, and roles were being written for him. And certainly of this time, it's like, okay, we need like some kind of complicated man with an edge. We're gonna get the best writers in the world to write it for Paul Newman, and he gets the best lines, he gets the best parts, and he does a fucking great job with them. Denzel for a long time didn't have that kind of treatment, but he was elevating every part that he did get. It's hard to compare the two because again, like, is the screenplay for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof on the same level as the screenplay for Inside Man or whatever? Like, no, one of them is written by one of the best playwrights of all time and the other one is not. But Denzel makes it better just by the choices that he makes and the whatever he brings to every role.
It's really amazing to watch him. I'm like trying to look back at his early movies before they were just inviting him to be in movies, before everyone kind of figured it out. To see if I recognize any of these. I think one of his first early ones was like Glory. Was there stuff before Glory?
Not that I know of. I don't have his IMDb page.
He's so, but he's just, you feel for him at every single turn.
Yeah.
Like, in every movie that he's in. And it's not just like a situation where he's compelling. He is that. He's really fun to watch. But he's your guy. Like in whatever you're watching, he's your fucking, even in Training Day, he's not supposed to be your guy.
No.
Like, maybe that's part of the success of Training Day, is that it really confuses you up until you get the reveal.
Yeah.
But like you're just rooting for him constantly.
Yeah. It's always, I have so much trust that he's going to pick the right movies and make them good. And it's always very surprising. Like Man on Fire is not a movie that I would normally seek out, but then I see a trailer with him in it. And I'm like, wow, I guess Man on Fire is the right choice. I guess he wouldn't do it if it was bad.
Yeah, the bone collector. You're like, I don't know, man. Oh, Denzel Washington's in it? Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, all right,
I'm in 100%. Yeah, I remember the Titans. Could be a terrible movie. It could be very on the nose, self-righteous movie. Yeah. And it's not at all, because it feels so real with him. Anyway, that is to say, his son doesn't do that. as far as I can tell yet. And maybe it's just too early in his career. But he does get mad in scenes. And like scenes where he has to yell or he has to be genuinely frustrated or angry. I'm just like, no, you're not.
Yeah. He's so likable and good in Ballers. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I did. I watched the first and second season of it. I remember like, he had just joined a team. He was like trying to get somebody else's number on the team. And it's like, he's kind of being conniving, but he's doing a really good job in that show.
Yeah.
I like that one. Dan, quick question.
Go.
Sorry. Daniel, quick question.
Go.
Just like on average, how many times would you say in New Jersey where you live, would you say it just rains? Would you say it rains like a month, let's say?
Out of the whole year?
Yeah. Like do you go entire months where it doesn't rain at all?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. But not like I wouldn't say it feels like not the same month every year or anything like that. It's not like dry season. And you know, we're pretty mixed bag weather wise. We get a pretty decent spread.
Yeah, I remember visiting New York several times and you'd just be surprised every once in a while. You're like, oh yeah, it's raining.
Yeah.
Like no one is not expecting rain.
Yeah.
California is very different. You know this about Los Angeles.
Yeah. Boy, this is the kind of thing. This is one of those things that I think neither of us will connect to when I just Google New Jersey annual rainfall. The average annual precipitation ranges from about 40 inches along the southeast coast to 51 inches in the north central parts of the state. Okay, so this is information I'll never know. I can't. I don't know what that feels or looks like. So I'll just stay in the dark and say it rains sometimes. And that's going to be my answer. That's going to be how much information I have. 50 inches.
That seems like a lot.
Does it?
I'm thinking about it in terms of feet. I mean, so like snow, like the way snow piles up and accumulates, where you're like, oh, you've got if you had a 12 inch storm, you've got like a foot storm. That's huge. Like that's a very big storm.
Yeah.
So 50 in a year seems like a lot. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So Southern California, there's a period of time where it's probably from about May, June or May until September, where there is no rain to speak of. If it rains, it's the craziest event in the world. Everyone goes outside, cars pull over on the side of the road. It just doesn't rain. And the city just compounds in its hotness. Like it gets hot. And then it doesn't cool off at night. And then the next day, it's still a little bit warm from the day before. And you heat it, you turn that oven back on again. And it gets like pretty unrelenting after a certain point, especially this year where our September has been like a record, where it's been so, so hot. And then there was this word of this storm that had come up from the Baja coast. And we were going to get a little piece of this hurricane where there was going to be some rain. And so all week, like, I'm watching it. I'm watching it on my phone to make sure that the percentage of chance of rain isn't going to change. And everyone, there's just like, everyone starts getting a little excited at the prospect of water falling out of the sky. When it hasn't for so, so long, and you didn't have clouds. And then this day, it just started like drizzling a little. And I could see it out on my car when I was looking out my window, from out my front window. And I went outside and just sort of like stood in it for a little bit. And it didn't rain enough that it was substantial in any capacity for this first storm. It was just like the fact that it was like a, hey, remember that sometimes the sky does this? It was just, it was that. it was like a rumor of rain. It rained just the tiniest bit, like 12 drops around me, but I could feel some of them. And standing out barefoot in my driveway, I just started to cry because I was like, we need it so badly. And rain is such this crazy novelty. And it has become obviously more of a novelty over time here. And you smell it in the sky first and like just the all those memories of it. It's a very, it accosts all your senses at once kind of when you first feel a rainstorm. And we weren't getting anything out of it. Like this was not going to help the ground at all. But I was like standing there and just like, this shouldn't be like this. I shouldn't be so emotional about a few drops dropping out of the sky. But it was like, it was overwhelming. It was like emotionally overwhelming to have that. And then to also think about my children and think about what are they going to do? And in the future, I mean, when like I have to tell the story of rain to them.
Right.
And so it was, I'm standing out there and I'm just crying. Now I've got a dead end street. So I feel a little better about this because nobody's ever on that street except on this particular occurrence, one of my neighbors just comes driving down the street, driving past me and waves to me. And I'm pretty confident that I've got a red face and like tears are visible in my eyes, but I smile and wave and they drive past. We haven't talked about it since.
Good.
We don't talk about it, but
they don't need to know and let them invent their own story. It'll be more fun.
I can remember growing up in Colorado that it was a very big deal when after a winter, because the winter was just, it felt so long. Once you got past Christmas, there's nothing. There's like no light at the end of that tunnel. You still got January, February, March, some of April, where it's going to be nonstop, relentless, cold and snow. And then all of a sudden in spring, you get that first kind of warm day or the day where the snow doesn't stick. Like it's fallen out of the trees and it's melting from the ground. It's mud season, but you're so pumped because you see basically a light at the end of that tunnel, that seasonal tunnel, where that euphoria everyone shares and feels all at once. I was like, I've never had it from the opposite end. And I'm worried that it's just going to like go away, that there won't, at some point we won't have this moment where it's like, ah, thank God the showers are here. It just will continually be hot forever.
Yeah, that's pretty grim. Things have gotten pretty bad out there, huh?
Yeah,
so I remember it didn't rain a ton when I lived out there, but it would rain once in a while, and
you could still be surprised by rain here.
I would be I really enjoyed the ritual autopilot that we all went on when we would see each other and say, this rain, huh? Yes. Well, we needed it. Yes.
Yeah.
I have that conversation 600 times a day. I love normal fucking shit like that. Really gets me going.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad here. And I think it's to the point where throughout any part of the year, and I think the rainy season here is really kind of like January, February. Mm-hmm. Rainy season is now, that's not quite right. Like that's not right, the right adjective for that season. We will never be surprised by rain here anymore.
Yeah. We're coming out the other side of a very hot season here in New Jersey, and it's wonderful. It's a cousin to that first warm day when spring is coming, where I am not immediately sweating when I step outside, and I can wear a hoodie in the morning while I sit on the porch with my shorts and hoodie drinking coffee. Ah, what a gift.
There's nothing better. When the seasons sound like such old people, but I know this is like what gets your engines revving. So I'll tell a story.
Yeah.
That first moment in a season where you get to get back in your car in the midday, like let's say it's like noon, you're going to go pick up some lunch. You get in your car and you're like, oh, it's nice and warm in here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that feeling where it's your car's not boiling hot. It's not baking. You get to get in it and it's just a little bit warmer than it is outside. And it makes you realize that when you're outside, oh, I was a little chilly when I was out there.
Yeah. It's so crazy to really intellectualize just how much of the year I am uncomfortable. It's really just a few of these windows when seasons change. Cause I know when it's wintertime, I'm miserable about the cold. It's always too cold for too long. I hate having to put on layers and jackets, and the first day I don't have to wear a jacket, I'm so happy. I feel like I've really turned a corner. And then in summer it gets way too hot and I feel like I can't wear a shirt with sleeves, and I don't want to leave the house because it's too uncomfortable to be outside. And then it starts to cool off a little bit and in that window I am again happy. Right as we head into cold season, like there's just these a couple of pockets I'm in one of the 8 days a year I'm comfortable. That's awesome. I don't have to do anything to adjust to the weather. It's just right now.
It's so grim. It's so grim to think that like your happiness is dictated by this release of torture, basically, where you're like, things are bad, but bad is normal. And then all of a sudden things aren't bad. And you're like, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Like, but
maybe one day I'll get really lucky and the weather will be correct on a weekend. One of the 2 days a week I get to be happy. If those things coincided, man.
It's so sad. Well, anyway, I just in I was talking, I was looking at our weather and I was like, maybe I'll look like 4 weeks in advance and see. No, it's in the same way like turtles all the way down underneath the earth. This is just sun all the way down. And then just you watch each day get progressively hotter. It goes from like 84, 87, 89, 93. Yeah. You're just like, oh, no.
It was so fucking hot when I was out in LA.
Yeah.
These last 2 weeks.
It also, this is the time of year when everything burns up too. So
yeah.
The sky is kind of like a apocalyptic red and just shadows look wrong. Like it's like when you're in an eclipse and you're like, ah, something's weird.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint it, but something's not quite right. Like everything's weird. You wake up and you go to your car and there's ash on it. And it's just like, well, what are we doing? We don't, this earth does not want us here. That feels like a good note to end the podcast on.
Yeah, the podcast is called Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. I love it. Their digital album is available at mirex.bandcamp.com. You can find me on Twitter at db_inc or Soren at Soren_ltd. You can find the show at qq_SorenandDan. Email us qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com, and you can find us on Patreon and support us there if that's what you want to do. Until next time, Soren, I had a really great time talking to you today, man.
It's good to talk to you.
Alright. Bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. Alright, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. Alright, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? Friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.